It's Friday, October the 27th, and I'm with Bruce Hasty in Havelock North to talk to him about his family. My name is Jenny Hall, and I look forward to hearing his story.
I was born in Waipakarau, 1st of April 1933, and I was the youngster of five children, and quite a bit younger than the others. In fact, my next brother up is 9 years older than me. However, we were a good family, we all got on well together, and I'm very much indebted to the love and happiness that I received from all of them. Mum unfortunately died when I was five under an operation in the Waipakarau Hospital, and Dad passed away 3 years later when I was eight.
Could you tell me the names of your dad and your mum? Tell us something about your dad.
Yeah, Dad's name was Alexander Hasty, and my mum was Daisy Hasty, and Dad had a business in Waipakarau, a wool and skin business. He's in partnership with my eldest brother by the name of Bill. The business was going along quite successfully, but of course the war came along at the same time, so Bill was taken away to the war. Later on, he was taken prisoner of war in Germany, where he spent 4 years in the prisoner of war camp. My sister Elsie's husband, Reg Knobloch, was from Waipawa, and he was a pilot officer over Germany, and his plane was hit, and he is now buried in Germany. Jim, my next brother up, was in the Air Force. After he came out of the Air Force, he continued with the Hawke's Bay Farmers in Waipak, and later on he was transferred to Wairoa as merchandise manager there. He came back to Waipakarau and became fire chief of the Waipakarau Brigade. Bill, who was the prisoner of war, bought into a business in Waipakarau. Then he became deputy mayor of Waipakarau. After Dad died, I was taken to Christchurch to live with an auntie. I stayed there for 5 years, where I completed my primary school's education. By that time, the war was over, and the family brought me back up to Waipakarau, and I then attended the Napier Boys High School as a boarder. Once I'd finished school, I then started a cabinet-making apprenticeship with R. Staines and Sons in Waipakarau. I finished that apprenticeship and felt I wanted to start in business of my own. And so I came to Hastings looking to purchase a furniture business, but there was nothing around. I was then put in contact with a person that felt I should be able to take on another type of business, which was the Blue Moon retail ice cream business. And at that time, the business was not running very successfully and only working about 8 hours a day. I immediately increased these hours to 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, also making different changes in the business. I immediately, after a while, had to increase staff numbers because the business was becoming too much for me to handle on my own. So anyhow, after about 9 months running that business, which was proving very successful, the grocery shop next door wasn't running very successful, so I bought that out and made improvements to that business, started employing staff there, and changed it to become a four-square business, and immediately had to employ 3 full-time staff and 1 part-time staff. And that worked in quite well because the businesses were next door to each other and they were easy enough for me to be able to manage.
So whereabouts were they situated?
Oh, they were in Heritonga Street East on the way to Havelock North. About 5 or 6 years later, Harold Carr, who was my secretary, he was also chairman of directors of the Woody Canneries and secretary of the Blue Moon Ice Cream Company, approached me and said, would I like to become a shareholder in the ice cream company, which was situated at the back of the shop? And I said no, but I would buy the whole business out. it had 17 shareholders, and the chairman was Sir Edwin Bate. He was mayor of the town at the time. Fortunately, we all got on well together to carry on with that business. However, after a short period of time, I found the equipment inadequate for me to be expanding the business the way I wanted to expand it. So anyhow, I found a section out here at Havelock North, and I bought that section, which was the second section in the area. They're all built on now, and I built a brand new factory there and set it all up with near enough new equipment, which was capable of handling the business which we anticipated and being able to make it worthwhile.
So did you still have the dairy at that stage?
Oh no, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that. I found that once I bought the manufacturing side of the business out, I sold both retail shops so as I could concentrate on the wholesale of the business.
So was that in the centre of Havelock North somewhere, in the commercial area there?
Yeah, that's in the commercial area, just straight opposite the BP service station here in Havelock. And when I bought the business, it was employing 3 full-time staff in the factory and 1 driver salesman, and he wasn't full-time. After a wee while, I managed to increase the business that we had about 30 different flavours of ice cream.
Wow.
And be able to manufacture our own ice blocks and sundaes. We had a full selection of products that you could buy in needing requirements for an ice cream factory.
Do you have someone who developed the flavours for you?
I developed most of them myself, and if I ever got into any difficulties, I had a good association with the professor down in Massey University, who was a great help if I required any help. But anyhow, after a wee while, I put a full-time truck into Hastings, another full-time truck into Napier, and we were employing roughly around about 8 to 10 people full time, and we were servicing other areas in the district. It was distributors which I set up in other areas in Taranaki, Manawatu, Wellington and Gisborne.
So when you took over the business, did the people who were from Watties come?
Yes, they proved fairly successful as distributors, and we had a good relationship with them all.
So at that time when you were distributing, because it's obviously, you know, early days, there wouldn't have been supermarkets, you'd be delivering to dairies and grocery shops.
Yeah, that's right.
A bit different to now.
Yeah, well, of course, that sort of thing came into it a bit later on. And while this was happening, I became president of the New Zealand Independent Ice Cream Manufacturers, and a little bit later on, I became vice president of the New Zealand Ice Cream Manufacturers.
So you would have been making your ice cream about the same time as Rush Munro's would have been around?
Oh, yes, yes.
So were you in competition with them, or were you doing completely separate, different things?
Well, when I was in the retail business, we were competitors, but of course, once I went into the wholesale part of the business, it was a different type of setup. So, you know, we were establishing shops all around the place that took our products and that sort of thing. So no doubt it did have some sort of problems as far as he was concerned with the way we were running them.
Yeah, so the ice cream you were making was more commercial perhaps than Rush Munro's, because Rush Munro's at that time would have probably been just for their own area, not distributing.
Yeah, a lot of the recipes, when I took the business over, it had about 8 different varieties, and I stuck to those recipes and that sort of thing. So the other additional flavours which I introduced came a lot of it from the original recipe. So we did try and stick to the original recipes as much as possible. So the business was running along very well, and I was pleased that we'd made the expansion of shifting into the other premises which I owned as well. So I had no landlords or anything like that to worry about. And with good equipment, made a big difference to our repairs and maintenance, and there's always a good comradeship between myself and the staff.
So where did you get your milk you would have needed? From local farms, or were there local dairy factories?
Yeah, we used a product with a milk powder, which was that near to the proper cream and milk as you could get, and that made quite a big difference. Tried to buy many products locally. The fruit and those ingredients we bought from local growers, strawberries and boysenberries. They used to keep supplying me each year with what I needed. And we bought for the year and froze down to enable us to be able to manufacture the product right through the year. That was a good moment. While we were getting frozen food agencies for distribution through supermarkets and different places, so that was an addition to what we were already doing. And the frozen food side of the business started to become quite profitable after a while.
Talking about frozen food, as in what?
Oh, frozen peas and corn.
And did you process it yourself?
No, we bought in products which was ready for distribution. And we just held them in our cool stores and sold them from the stock we had.
So you were sort of like the middleman?
Yeah. So the business seemed to go along pretty good and that sort of thing.
So how long were you in business with that?
I had that for about 17 years, I suspect. And then I unfortunately made a decision which I regretted. Someone came along and wanted to buy the business. And I wasn't keen on selling because we were doing very well. They kept coming back to me. So my accountant said to me, it's not every day you can sell an ice cream factory, Bruce. And I said, oh, yeah, don't expect it is. So I started negotiations with them. The idea of the business was that I sold the business and the buildings, and they were two separate sales. So I sold out, and they only lasted about 6 to 9 months, and they could not continue. They went into bankruptcy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I lost many thousands of dollars through that.
Did they just not have the know-how to keep it going?
Well, they had their own ideas. They didn't want me around. They wanted to use my factory to supply the Wellington market, as they had another factory in Tauranga which they thought could supply the Auckland market. But the thing was this, that neither knew anything about the ice cream industry. One was a director of a frozen poultry business and the other one was an accountant, and they thought they knew exactly what they wanted, and no matter what help I offered, they just didn't want to know. So anyhow, fortunately, I had the sale of the building and I immediately looked around to invest into other commercial properties, which I did. That was a very successful venture, as I ended up with 6 commercial tenants, and some of them were national tenants. The building I bought was in a good area in town and showed good prospects. So I was very happy there. I'd also petitioned part of it off at the back as a food factory because I was getting people wanting me to start and make ice cream again. Mm-hmm. So I used that food premises for making soda syrups for soda machines and toppings for milkshakes and ice creams and all that sort of thing. And I was distributing that around a few of the areas around the country. I had a friend who was a director of a company in Auckland that came down and said to me, well, Bruce, we're going to start up in competition to you. And I said, oh, that's all right. But he said, we'd like you to either go to Auckland and be our factory manager or have the distribution rights for the bottom half of North Island. And I thought, oh, I'll see if I can rent my factory. And I had 3 people wanting to rent it, so I rented that as well. And I took on the distribution rights for the bottom half of North Island. It was straight commission. And I then added other lines to the lines which I had. So I did that for about 11 years for the bottom half of North Island. That worked out quite well.
Would that have been at the time when perhaps supermarkets were just beginning?
Yeah, yep, yeah. That's right.
Did that make, you know, life easier, dealing with supermarkets rather than dealing with little, you know, one-man grocery shops?
Oh, yes, because I was also calling on not only supermarkets but other wholesalers as
oh,
well.
Oh, right, yeah.
But in between time when I got out of the Blue Moon Ice Cream Company and starting this other business, I was doing up houses and selling them off. I did quite a few of those and some I held. And then I also did another development of two townhouses and the house here in Havelock North, and they sort of went along quite successfully.
What a busy life. How did you fit it in?
Well, funny enough, everything just seemed to go along. I've been very interested in Freemasonry through my life, and I've been Master of Lodge full time and District Grand Master once. I've also been involved in the church. I've held several positions in the church.
Which church was that?
The Presbyterian Church.
Here in Havelock North?
Oh, in Hastings. So, and you just asked me how I got through it all. Well,
did you have children who came into business with you?
No. When I was approached about selling the business, I said to Andrew, my son, he was at secondary school at the time, do you want to take this business on at some stage? And he said, no way, Dad. So I see the way you work, I don't want to work like that. Which was a good move on his part because he's been quite successful in what he's done. And the daughter, she had moved on to something else as well. So unfortunately, the family weren't interested in taking the business on. Or otherwise, I would have kept that business for them. Yes.
So just going back, that last business you talked about, is that where you finished your working life?
Yeah. I retired. I was 62 at the time, and I was feeling a bit burnt out. I looked around and I felt, well, I should be able to retire now. So I did retire, which I very much appreciated. Although I did enjoy my working life, I had no complaints there at all. And fortunately, I never had any health problems. And that was a big thing in my favour. Unfortunately, I had a failed marriage after 24 years. But I'm happily married now, so that's the main thing. So it's a matter of turning your life around and getting on.
We're going to wind right back to your parents. Your mum, what was her maiden name?
Brown.
Where did your parents come from?
Yeah, thank you for asking me that. It's very important. They came from Dunedin. Her father, who was my grandfather, started off in a bakery business when he was 12. And worked very well, and he became a very successful business person in Dunedin. He retired at the age of 44. He had also tea rooms as well as his bakery, and that was very successful. He was known very well in Dunedin, and his pies became quite famous. Whatever he seemed to cook, he did very, very well at.
So was he born in Dunedin?
Yes, he was born in Dunedin.
So his family came out from?
Scotland. And Dad's side of the family lived in Dunedin as well. They had a small farm out of Tyree in Dunedin. And so Mum and Dad were in Dunedin for quite a few years before they shifted around.
So grandparents on both sides of your family were born in New Zealand?
Yes.
So you go back to great-grandparents who came out to New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
And they all came to Dunedin. How did your family then end up here?
Yeah, well, Dad had the opportunity of taking over this business up here at Waipuka around the Woolenskin business. So we did. And Bill, my brother, was at the stage where he hadn't long left school, and they formed a partnership. They were quite well known around Central Hawke's Bay for what they were doing.
And so you were born in Waipuka Rau. Your wife, where did she come from?
Colleen comes from Rawakuni.
Is that your first wife?
No, my second wife.
Your first wife?
Oh, she was from Hastings, yes.
And what was her maiden name?
Crawford.
Her Christian name was?
Oh, Sherry.
And you had children from that marriage?
Yeah, two.
Andrew, you talked about?
Yeah, and Kilby.
And are they living locally?
No, Andrew lives on the Gold Coast, and Kilpie's in Hamilton.
So not close to you?
No.
And then your second wife, she was a local person?
No, she came from Awakuni. She was born in Awakuni, and then she shifted to Whanganui, where she lived for quite a few years, and that's where I met her in Whanganui.
And her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Goldfinch. They were quite well known up in Awakuni, and early settlers up that way.
So you've got a son and a daughter, so obviously you have grandchildren?
Yes, two of them. Nathan at the present time, he's done quite well at university and he's been travelling for several months now and seems to enjoy travelling. Waiting for him to settle down. And Jessica, she's a ski instructor. She travels around the different areas overseas and here instructing.
She follows the winters.
Yeah, but no, they're doing quite well.
So since you've been retired, you've obviously still had your hand in with Freemasons and the church.
Mm.
Did you have other sort of hobbies or groups you got involved with?
No, not really. I've been involved with, you know, going back a few years, I was a director of the YMCA and a few other organisations. And Hastings, I'm a great believer in the people in Hastings were good to me, and it was over to me to be able to try and hand back some of my time to other organisations. Also, I owe a lot to my family, who was so good to me.
So, now having been a businessman, you'd have seen a lot of changes in Hastings as far as businesses and things go.
Yes, I have. Hastings, I'm very pleased to say, it's doing well. We were at a bit of a stalemate there for quite a few years, but fortunately the council are making good decisions, and I feel Hastings will be one of the leading places to come and retire or set up business around here. We're busy with the horticultural areas, and I think that will hold us in good stead for the future.
You're here at Mary Doyle, which has expanded and is quite a big retirement thing, but there's lots of others appearing. You know, I mean, Hawke's Bay and this area probably is attractive to retirees.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yes, we're very happy here and very fortunate to be here, sort of thing, and to be able to keep reasonably good health, to be able to enjoy it as well. We have good friends.
Do you belong to any clubs now?
No.
You're still in contact with the church, obviously?
No, not quite so much with the church recently. I've sort of been pulling back on a few things and that sort of thing. Yeah, I have been in the past. The same as Freemasonry, I've been very involved with that and I'm pulling back from that as well.
How did you get involved with that? Was it through people you knew?
No. No. Oh, well, actually, someone came into the shop one day and said, because I just kept working all the time. One of my customers came in and they said, Bruce, there's something here you should join. And I said, oh, what's that? And they said, Freemasonry. I said, oh, what's that? And they said, you'll find out. Just sign here. And I did that. And it was one of the best things I ever did. Mm. And after a wee while, I found out that my uncle was Assistant Provincial Grand Master of the Wellington District, and my grandfather in Dunedin was a past Master of the Scottish Constitution in Dunedin. Mm. So these are the things I've had the opportunity of meeting lots of people that I'd never ever have had the opportunity of before.
Because you don't actually hear about it, do you?
No.
It's not a group that is sort of out there for people to know about.
But yeah, you'd be surprised at the amount of good that we're doing all the time, that sort of thing. I was benevolence officer for 8 years, and walking into people's homes which didn't have anything, and we could stock up their cupboards and do all sorts of things and help. We are the biggest providers in New Zealand of the scholarships. Yeah, there are other firms that do help, but we are the biggest provider of scholarships.
Is that for
university?
And so each group provides for the area that you live in?
Yeah, I've been to the awards in Wellington and wherever they have them, and seen the good that these young people are finding, but it's the help that Freemasonry has given them.
Oh, that's interesting, I didn't know that.
And this year, with the main sponsorships of the games for the paraplegics.
Disability.
Disability up in Hamilton. Mm. Everyone came from all over the country for that. So we work quietly in a lot of areas.
Now, you've been very busy in your life with, you know, working in businesses and whatever. Have you ever had the chance to travel?
Oh, yes. Colleen and I, we've done a few overseas trips, and that we've seen quite a bit. But travelling is all right, but it's always good to get home.
I agree.
I've been very fortunate in my life. I've got no regrets. Oh, I have got the odd one.
But you were lucky with your businesses that you've obviously had good staff behind you to keep things going.
Oh, I can't speak highly enough of the staff I had. And I always work with them as much as possible.
And going back to Blue Moon days, when the business was taken over here in Havelock North, the name sort of died out, did it?
Yes, it has.
Oh, like the vans.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we've covered a lot of ground. You talk about your marriage. I just wonder how much time you actually had to spend with your wife.
I was always very careful to try and spend time with family. I place family very important in my life. Being in the situation I was in, I didn't want anyone to feel in that same situation, so I did try.
And because you lost your mum and dad, you know, when you were so young, you didn't have that family tie to keep you together, did you?
Well, funny you should say that, but my brothers and sisters seemed to take over and had quite a big input into helping bring me up. They were absolutely right. They did all they could do for me.
So through those years of you growing up, you had times of getting together as a family for weddings and family events.
Yes. We used to pay a lot of importance on family. It was one of the most worrying times of the lot when my brother was in prison of war camp. He was missing in Crete for quite some time before we got news that he was a prisoner. And that was a terrible time in our lives. In fact, I think that particular time just about finished Dad off. They were very close together and he'd been away at the war. And by the way, Dad was in the Boer War. So they knew what war was like.
That would have affected even more with him having been in the Boer War and then having his children going off to war.
And I firmly believe he was missing Mum and he had a heart problem and a few things like this, and he's very lonely.
Well, I mean, your mum, you know, someone going into hospital, you don't expect him to not come out again, do you?
No. So that was
a hard time for your family.
But, you know, we all came through all right and stuck together, and funny the way things work out.
We might stop there. Thank you, Bruce, for talking to us and telling us about your history, because the businesses you were in were probably a big part of Hastings, and you've obviously contributed a lot to the area. So thank you very much for doing this interview.
Thank you.